said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who has said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. We are going to be really kind of digging in, thinking around this story this morning. Neil's going to tell us a little bit more about his theme. Naya, do you want to jump up? Naya and Neil. Okay, so I co-lead the church with Matt, and with these all-in services, we do it in teams. So Neil and Naya will be leading us through this morning, and we've got all kinds of things happening. It is going to be a great morning to be together. Let's pray, and then we'll have some worship together. Lord, I thank you for the encouragement that I've talked about this week of what you're doing through your people, that you've got things for us to do and you love us. Lord, we pray that as we spend this time together this morning, we'll get a fresh glimpse of just who you are and what you can do through ordinary people, Lord. Amen. Okay.
Okay, that's fantastic. What I really enjoy is when Tim and Jemima come and do the actions with their beautiful smiling faces. Let's give them a big clap, because that's a hard thing to do. So good on you guys. I love that. I may not do all the actions, but I love you doing all the actions. Okay, this morning our service, the theme is Mission Possible, to trust God and to take him at his word. Oh, that's good. We got that up there. I'm not going to worry about that. So my question to you is, what are you like when you're asked to do something? One thing I get asked to do by my wife when I'm in the potting shed, she shouts me for a meal. So, "Neil, come for dinner." And I say, "I'll be there just in a minute." Now, my minute is not an earthly minute. My minute's about the equivalent of 10 or 20 earthly minutes. So my wife usually shouts me a second time, and by the third time it's, "The food is on the table, Neil," out the back, or she sends one of the boys out. So that's how I tend to respond to some things. But God, he knows and has things that he wants us to do. It says in Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and give you a hope and a future. God has plans for each one of us. What's more, those plans can be exciting, they can be scary, they can be plans that take us a minute to do, they can be plans that take us a lifetime to do. They can be huge, big plans that take us around the world, they can be tiny little plans that just involve sending a text to somebody. And we're going to look at some of those plans today. We're going to be exploring through two different stories, very different stories of two people from the Bible and how they responded to God giving them a mission. So we thought we'd start off with a special mission for the smaller people, for the Bright Sparks people and those that are younger than Bright Sparks. And what we have got in the corner, we've got Sarah is going to have a very special mission for you. She's got some very special friends who are here this morning for you to look after and get to know during the service. So if you're interested and you would like to come now to the front, Sarah, come and wave Sarah at the front. You all know Sarah, I'm sure. Come and sit with Sarah and come and meet some of her friends. Does anyone want to come into the corner? Come and sit down. It's not Lego bricks and it's not colouring in, I can assure you. It's something even more exciting than that. Something that might be alive. If you like alive, it's not a tarantula, don't worry. It's not a spider. Something quite friendly, really. Something that's probably about as fast as I am fast at going to have my dinner when I'm called. So it's something very, very slow. Right, if you've been a parent to teenagers, we're going to find out later. We're going to see how everyone's getting on in the corner, okay? So we'll come back to that. But if you are a parent who's had teenagers, you'll know what a joy they take and how easy it is to get them to do something if you ask them to do something. Now, my children, I relish the times when I have to ask my boys to clean their room or to take the bins out or to get out of the shower because we're all waiting to get into the bathroom. Those times, I just relish those times in our house. So what we're going to do, we're going to have a bit of fun. We've got two dramas, like we said. We're going to be looking at how Mary responded to God later on. But the first drama is a slight fantasy. You really need to read Exodus for yourself, the story of Moses and how he met with God. But this morning, we're going to take you to a mountainside above Horeb, to a field of sheep, to a bush which is burning mysteriously, but not burning up. And to Moses, who has a mission impossible.
Moses. Moses. Moses.
Oi, can you hear me anything with those things on all the time?
What?
Listen, son, don't be afraid. Look, you've been messing around with those sheep for too long, and I need you to do something for me.
What?
I have a mission for you. Your people back in Egypt, the Israelites, have been groaning in their slavery.
So?
So, you ran away and left them all those years ago. Don't you think you owe it to them to go back and help?
I'll do it later, all right?
I'll do it later, all right?
What's wrong with you? Do it now!
I'm busy!
Busy?
Yeah. I've got to take my father-in-law's sheep back to Horeb before nightfall. Oh, just get off my case, will you?
Get off your case? Moses, I haven't even started yet. There are thousands of Hebrews, and they need a spokesman to negotiate with the king of Egypt.
Negotiate? Oh, don't even know what that means. I'm not very good at I'm not very good with words. Oh. Get someone else to do it. Why don't you get Aaron to do it? Oh, he's really good with words. He could talk the hind leg of a donkey.
I'm not asking your brother. I'm asking you.
Oh, this is so unfair.
Look, Moses, do this for me, and you get to play with gadgets.
Gadgets? Gadgets?
Tom Cruise style, you know, Mission Impossible.
What, like a laser on a watch and I'm like one of those thingamies with the wheels that go really fast,
a car.
Yeah, a car. Am I going to get a car with like all missile launchers and satellite navigation and maybe a trailer to carry my sheep?
Well, sort of. Look, go behind that rock.
Is that it? A stick?
It's a staff, Moses. And I made it myself, actually. Go on, throw it on the floor and see what happens.
Dear. I might have broken his neck.
Why do you break everything I give you? Listen, pick it up again.
Oh, sorry.
When the Israelites see this miracle, they will know that I, God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is behind this escape plan.
So, just tell me again, what is it you want me to do?
Your mission, Moses, should you choose to accept it, is to free the Israelites, really annoy the king of Egypt, find a way across an impossible sea, lead a band of whinging, sandal-wearing exiles over into the wasteland, where you'll spend the next 40 years wandering aimlessly and eating nothing but cotton wool scraped off the grass.
How much am I getting paid for this?
Son, my patience is running out. It's not as if you were rushed off your feet, are you?
All right, I'll do it, but I'm not doing it on my own. I'm slow of speech,
All right. Take Aaron with you. Right, are you ready?
Right, okay, I'll do it. I'll go back to Egypt, I'll rescue your people, I'll wave the staff around, I'll really wind up Pharaoh, I'll part the Red Sea, I'll wander around in the desert for 40 years. All right, happy now? So unfair.
Oh, one last thing, Moses. Should you or any of your member of your team be injured or killed during this mission, the creator of the world, that's me, will deny any knowledge of anything. Oh, and you might actually want to get up now.
What?
This stage will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
What? What? Aaron! You gotta know what God wants you to do. Wait for me.
Now, that wasn't quite how the Bible told the story. You need to read Exodus 2 for yourself, but it does tell us how hard it was for Moses to complete his mission. I'm going to ask some fun questions now, and if I can get some answers from the audience, that'll be very nice. So, my phone is messing up. Really is. Was he happy about going on this mission? Great. And why didn't he want to go? Hands up. Oh, got a hand at the back. Okay. I'm moving. Tim. Why didn't he want to go?
Because it would be boring.
Okay. Close. So, Rachel, do you want to input?
He did say that he couldn't use words well.
Yes. He was slow of speech and he wasn't confident. So, what was his father God like? Well, we have a lot of interaction today. Yes.
He was patient with him and tried to explain.
Yes, he was. He was kind of a bit annoyed that Moses didn't want to do the mission, but he was compassionate for him and he wanted him to do it, so he managed to convince him, because obviously that's just how it works with God. So how did God encourage Moses? Next question. Anyone? Yes.
He showed him a miracle.
That is correct, yeah. Well done. So, I've turned off my phone as well, which has all the questions on. So, let's... got a piece of paper. I think... Last question. In the end, did Moses accept his mission?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry for the technical difficulties there, but thank you.
And we've got the second part of the drama now, and it's about Mary. And maybe you'll kind of go, oh, God was just as real then, just as real. Matt's got tears in his eyes. as real as he is now, God is completely real, and he's doing things in ordinary people. So I'll hand over to our second part of the drama.
Greeting, you are highly favoured. The Lord is with you. Don't be afraid, Mary. I am Gabriel, and you have found favour with God. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to have a baby. This doesn't concern Joseph. Your mission is to have a baby like no other. A miracle baby. Call him Jesus. He will be great, for he will be the son, not of Joseph, but of the Lord Most High. He will reign, and his kingdom will never end. Mary, what's the matter? You've gone a bit pale.
You're going a bit fast. I just don't understand.
You don't need to understand. Just trust God. Look, choose this mission, Mary, and I will give you some special help.
Oh, no. It's not Moses' staff, is it? Because I really hate snakes. And snakes and babies, not a good combination.
No, Mary, it's not a thing. It's a person. Well, two people. Moses and Aaron. But you get the Holy Spirit, full of power. Your holy child will be the Son of God. And don't forget your relative, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth? Yes, she's 6 months pregnant, and at that age too, that baby was really a miracle. All because God promised them.
Exactly. No word from God will ever fail. Visit Elizabeth. She's there to bless you and go before you, and so is a miracle son. But the question is, Mary, will you choose your mission? Will you trust and obey?
I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me.
That's why he chose you.
Just two things.
Yes?
What am I going to say to Joseph?
Leave that one to me. And the other thing?
Please promise me this tape won't self-destruct in 10 seconds. I've just cleaned the kitchen.
Now, Mary's story is very similar, but also pretty different to Moses' story that we saw earlier. In both, God sends his message in a miraculous way to each of the people. How do you think Mary felt when the angel appeared to this girl who was 14 and not yet married and told her that she was going to have to give birth to a child? Anyone? She would be frightened. That is right. Yeah. She'd be pretty anxious. She'd be scared. I mean, she's 14. That's younger than me. And I don't want to give birth. I'm sure none of the other 14-year-old girls here want to give birth yet. And not married either. That's a bit risky. So, many of us will be able to relate to being overcome with fear when God gives us a mission that's outside of our comfort zone or something that we just don't really want to do. But Mary teaches us that we shouldn't let fear paralyze us from doing what God tells us to do. When God sends us on a mission, he doesn't leave us alone. Moses was given a staff and his brother Aaron, but what was Mary given? The Holy Spirit, yes. And she was filled with God's Spirit, which gave her faith to go through with this pregnancy. So Mary said yes to God's plan for her life. She had an obedient, submissive, and humble heart, but her faith was one of the most inspiring aspects of her character. If we truly believe in God's power to deliver on his promises, no matter how impossible they seem, we too can make great miracles take place. Are we willing to say yes to the Lord, just like the four people we heard and their stories? Yes.
Okay, we're gonna actually visit Tortoise Corner. Did anyone say it was Tortoise Corner? Do you know that is the most exciting thing of the morning, apart from the amazing testimonies? Okay, Naya, do you want to go over and see what they've been up to?
Yes. We're on the way to the Tortoise... Oh, that sounded weird. We're on the way to the Tortoise Corner, where the kids have been looking after the tortoises. Can you tell me, what did you guys look after? It's not like we already know, but... Do you want to say?
Tortoises.
Yes, that is correct. And what were their names? Did they have names?
We sort of named them ourselves. I think one of them was called Magic.
What did you name one?
Short Tail.
That is a brilliant name.
Tiny.
It is a pretty tiny turtle. And can you remember what things they needed? Did you feed them?
Yes. What did you give them?
Lettuce. You feed the turtles lettuces and they grow. And can you remember what Mary asked, what Mary was asked to look after? A baby boy. Yeah, that is right. And finally, did you guys think you completed your mission for looking after the turtles?
Yes.
Yes. And they're looking very well and happy. And that is always good. Okay. Keep enjoying your little turtle corner. And thank you.
Well, then that is cool. If you're really good, you might get to have a look at them afterwards. We really thought, what could the little ones do, the smallest ones in church, to get the idea of, Mary looking after something, the responsibility that she had, and just kind of looking after for these tortoises just for a little while. Not quite the same, but actually they need a lot of care, don't they? What a responsibility Mary had. It's that time of year when we bring out the Advent wreath. Now, for some of you, you might be thinking, an Advent what? For some of you, you'll be thinking, yeah, I love this. This is a great thing to be doing. We don't do loads of traditions as church, but we really love doing this, the Advent wreath. It's a countdown to Christmas. And every year, I seem to learn a little bit more, if I'm honest. Jenny Ring has put this together for us this year. And I read something how the story of the Advent wreath actually goes right from the beginning right to the end, or right onto eternity. I won't do the whole story for you because that would take a long time this morning. But today we're thinking about hope, the candle of hope. And I've just asked if Ojan could jump up for us and light the candle. I didn't tell you that bit. And share a little bit about hope there.
It's magic. Okay, I'll get you the lighter while you read. So, all right. Okay, so we remind ourselves of the hope we have in Christ. And we're going to now light the first candle. Hope is like a light shining in a dark place. As we look at the light of this candle, we celebrate the hope we have in Jesus Christ. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the Holy Spirit. And that's from Romans 15, verse 13.
Thanks, Richard. It's amazing, this hope. Jesus, the real hope of the world. And the testimonies you've heard today. We've got a bit of a challenge for you this morning. On your tables, hopefully, you'll have noticed some Christmas cards. We've only got about 700 or 800 of these. So we need to do something with them. And what we'd really like you to do this morning is take hold of one of these. They've got our services over Christmas on them. And have a think for just 1 minute. Who could I be inviting? Who would I like to give this invitation to? So the first card, you can write in there who you're going to invite. You can write their name. And what we'd really like you to do is take as many cards as you like, because honestly, there are 800 of them, so we're not going to be short. Take cards, give them to your friends, your neighbours. You can just personalise them. You don't have to kind of just say it's a service. You can just say, oh, I'm really thinking of you this Christmas. Drop round sometime. But you've got a few minutes now. Just have a little think about that. And, yeah, write your first Christmas card, unless you're really organised. Just to say, younger people as well, you can do this. We've got on the 22nd of December, we've got Enfest, Chris Dingle's party, and then carol service. So children, younger ones, invite a friend. This is your chance. Be brave. Stick a name in there, someone you'd like to invite. Okay, hopefully you've all got a name there, a name and a card. I'll just say again, please do take loads of cards, give them out around your neighbourhood. I'm just going to pray that God will really speak to people through these cards. Lord, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for everything that we love about it. And we do pray that as we take these cards and we give them to friends, neighbours, family, Lord, Lord, we pray that you would really bless those people, that they would grab something of you. It would be a meaningful thing, that maybe they would come to something, Lord. Maybe you'd just speak to them. Help us to have those conversations which encourage them, Lord. Amen.
Okay, we're going to have just a time of reflection as we draw to a close this morning. We're thinking not just about the Advent and Mary and the Jesus who's on his way and coming at Christmas time and coming into the world for the first time and breaking into our lives too. So we're going to have a little bit of time just thinking. This song, if you don't know, is O Come Emmanuel. It's a really ancient hymn. And Emmanuel means God being with us. And God is with us today. He'll be with us whatever mission, whatever task that God is setting you in this season, even today, and in the year ahead as well. So let's just think practically for ourselves about what mission or task God might be laying before you. Maybe you're already in the middle of something. Is there a work maybe or a school situation where you are needed to make a difference? Have you got maybe a health issue or a bereavement that you've got to cope with? Is there a relationship that maybe you need to work on? Is there a stand that you need to take? Maybe there's a friendship that you need to make with somebody. Maybe there's a habit that you need to break. Maybe there's a person to forgive. And maybe there's something in your life that you need to live new. Let's just have a moment while the music's playing, this beautiful music, and let God speak to you this morning. And think, God, what thing have you got me you want me to do? Thank you. The angel said to Mary, "Don't be afraid. You've found favor with God." And Mary said yes to God's plan for her life. So let's be similarly humble. Let's be brave. Let's say yes, Lord, to whatever task he calls us to. Hebrews 13 says, "May the God of peace equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Thank you, guys. That was good. So if God's spoken to you and if you feel you've got something and you feel it's overwhelming or difficult, please, after the service, talk to someone you know. Get someone just to pray with you, get alongside you in that thing. They want to be, God wants to help you and be with you. He wants to give you the staff. He wants to give you the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you whatever you need. You're not on your own and you've got your church here. So please just share that with someone. We want this time to be a time when God really does speak to us, not just sort of nice dramas and lights and music. This is about God being here alive, to be alongside you in whatever he has for you over this season. So as we finish today, we're going to sing this fantastic Psalm 23. I will trust in you. Let's be like Mary. Let's trust in God for good things ahead. Whatever he's given us, whatever hand we've been dealt by God, then let's trust in him.